you know, your mom was, it wasn't like, you know, of course you didn't have Amazon quick delivery, you know, you didn't, we didn't just get in our cars and drive places. I already went to the grocery store this week. It was a different time. And your mom might say, go borrow some, ran out of salt, ran out of flour, ran out of sugar. And so she would send, now she sent us over to Mamie's. Mamie was a sweetheart. She would loan you everything. Mamie was normally drunk and maybe that helped, you know. And she was the best one. And then Miss Peggy was to our right. Miss Peggy, she always, at Halloween, she always bought bulk candy and grabbed it with her hand. That was always a little, eh. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, she, you know, she's in heaven, Lord willing. But we'd borrow from her. We'd borrow from Mamie. We'd borrow from the Haynes. Some people we wouldn't borrow from. But, you know, you borrow a cup of flour. And then, you know, as soon as you went to the store, what would you do? You bring the cup of flour back. Anybody else? Am I the only person that did that? No, we used to do that. Yeah. Right. But when you borrow something, you always try to give it back in the same condition or better than when you borrowed it. And so I remember watching my mom. She would pour that flour or whatever it was into the cup. Right. And then she'd knock it. She'd knock it on the counter. She'd shake it down. And then she'd press it down into that cup. Why? You loan me a cup of flour, I'm going to make sure that I give you a cup of flour back, if not more. Right? And so she'd tap it again, and that flour would settle, you know, and you'd get maybe a quarter inch, you know. And then she'd even, if it wasn't far to walk, she'd even heap it on the top. Right? And that's what he says. He says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I want you to show you another verse. Look at Luke chapter 12. Look at Luke chapter 12. I tell you, it's an interesting thing in the Bible. The church, and not just the church, nonprofit organizations, schools, you know, have abused without a doubt the issue of money and finances. And I think that I think it's sad because in the Bible, it's interesting that giving in the Bible is free will, and it's a positive thing. And, you know, something has happened with religion where we have made it a burden, where we have made it. In fact, even myself, I always avoid talking about it because I think I associate it with a lot of the guilt trips that I heard from the pulpit as a child, right? And yet in the Bible, it's not presented that way at all. Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's fun to give. It's a blessing to give. And by the way, why do we give? We give because Jesus Christ is in our hearts and he's a giver. We give because we love God and God is a giver. The Bible says he gives us richly all things to enjoy. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave. And so look at here at Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 21. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He says a little earlier, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through and steal. He says, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And he says that again in Matthew. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. And I'll just show you. I want you to turn. I want you to see the scripture. It's a little bit more of a Bible study this morning, but that's okay. Amen. We're here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, want you to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. God gives us grace. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That's a lot of words. Poverty abounded to their liberality. Now, can I just tell you this? A lot of words have digressed. This is one of them. Right? Liberal in the Bible is actually a positive thing. Right? What is a liberal now? Well, a liberal in the Bible is someone that's generous, right? But a liberal now is someone that's generous with your money. Amen? Right? They take, right? But he says that these folks, what are they like? They're people that had a desire to give. And they didn't have a lot. But, of course, we know what the Lord said. He said about that. And it's never the amount in the Bible. You got to get that. Remember the widow casting into the treasury? Right? She gave all she had. The Lord says she's given more than everybody here. Right? And so when we give of what we can. We understand that, right? And that goes for, listen, that goes for our time with our family, right? Time spent serving the Lord, right? Our treasure, all these things, our talents. Amen. We all have different talents that we ought to use for the Lord, right? And the Lord doesn't ask you to give something you don't have. Amen. Amen. And these people, they gave, and look what it says, for their power did I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did. Now this is amazing. Not as we hoped. So, you know, Paul, what's Paul doing here? Paul is raising money for the poor saints at Jerusalem, right? There was a crisis down there. There was a famine. And so Paul said that you have received their spiritual things. You got the word of God from the Jews, right? And the apostles were Jewish. So he said the least we could do is help them out physically. And so he's taking a collection for them. That's what he says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. He talks about that, this collection for the saints. But he says, so he's going through the churches and he's gathering up this money that he's going to bring to Jerusalem. And he says, these poor people in Macedonia, he says, they gave, but not as we hoped. Look what he says. He says, but first gave their what? Own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know, God asks... And let me make that clear. God asks things of us as believers. He asks things of us. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. He asks. Why? Because we're free. We've been made free in Jesus Christ. We're free from the law of sin and death. We are free to do right. We are not bound by the law. We do not do right to go to heaven. We don't do that. We don't give to go to heaven. We don't serve to go to heaven. We don't be kind to our neighbors to go to heaven. We are saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in his shed blood and resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so, amen. I like those amens. But he says this, they gave their own selves to the Lord. And let me say this, Christian, if you want to grow, that's the key.
Yes, sir.
Turn yourself over to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? And then everything else is easy. How many, could somebody here raise their hand and say, that's right. I turned my heart over to God and everything else became easier after that. That's the truth, right? Amen. Amen. I remember my dad telling me a story of a kid one time that went up and sat in the offering plate. So what are you doing? The preacher said, give yourself to God. I'm giving myself to God. Hannah gave her boy to the Lord. She said, I'll give him to the Lord. We got to give our children to God.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, it's all his anyways.
Yeah.
That's the basic principle of stewardship, is that everything I have comes from him.
Yeah.
Amen. He's given me everything. He's given me the strength. He's given me the wisdom. He's given me the intelligence. It all belongs to him anyways. And he's worthy of it, right? And he's worthy of my correct use of it. Amen? Now I want you to look at, before we go there, I go back here to, are you in 2 Corinthians? All right. Look what he says in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, and that's very important, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Right? So what is he saying? He's giving them the example of the poor saints of Macedonia. And he says, because of their testimony, I think we can all be encouraged to give. Wasn't it a blessing to see Brother Miller and Miss Lita Wednesday night? Up here, big old boy, saved at 24 years old there in Dallas, Texas, gave his heart to the Lord, and has been in Scotland 40 years telling those people about Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing. And you know what that man did? He encouraged me. He encouraged me to be a witness. He encouraged me. You know, Scotland isn't the greatest place to be a Baptist pastor. Right? I mean, you know, they're not exactly gushing with friendliness and emotion, and they're not exactly beating the doors of the church down to get in, right? It's a hard nation. It's a tough nation. It's a very secular nation. But he's been faithful there for 40 years in Miss Lita, and they've been through so much with their children and with their health. He could have been up here forever talking about that. And I get around a guy like that, and I just think, what's my excuse? Not in a bad way. I didn't go out of here feeling like a piece of dirt. Right? I came out of here encouraged. Yeah. Amen. Wasn't he a blessing? Yeah. I'll tell you what. And I like being around people like that. Yeah, you know what you gotta do? You gotta get around people that encourage you to do right. Yep. You gotta get around people that are a good example. You know, some of you are bummed because this is the first time all week you've been around decent people. There's a couple in here, believe it or not. Amen. And part of it you can't help. You work with jerks. You work with idiots. Amen. You might have family that doesn't love God. Someone might have given you a hard time coming out of the house this morning for going to church. Isn't it great to get around believers and get encouraged to do right? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, you know, giving in the Bible, no matter what type of, no matter what it is, it's always associated with a blessing. You know? Isn't that? That's interesting, right? I mean, there's commands. Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Okay. Right? There's some commands where there's not necessarily a blessing attached to it, although we know that we're always blessed when we obey. And Solomon says it's life to our flesh. It's health to our bones. He's in the way of life that goeth in the way of understanding, right? Wisdom is the principal thing. And he talks about those things. But in the Bible, it is not what it has become in religion at all. It's always something that's a blessing. It's always something that a promise is attached with it. And the Lord says, I'll pour you out. After he talks to, he rebukes them in Malachi for holding back, he says, see now, prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there be room to receive it. In Proverbs, the Bible says, whoso giveth unto the poor, listen to this, whoso giveth unto the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. Think about that for a second. Right? Some of you are like, lend to somebody, I'm the one always borrowing. Right? Some of you remember when you got to that place in your finances where you weren't borrowing anymore, and it's kind of nice. Some of you, no. Almost got that house paid off. Amen. I was looking at it the other day. I'm not going to be alive when my house is paid off. Oh, but, lendeth unto the Lord. Imagine lending unto the Lord. Do you think the Lord pays you back? Think the Lord takes care of you? Whoso giveth unto the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will repay again. And I'm not going to talk necessarily this morning about some like tithing and stuff like that. I'm not going to talk about that. That's a Bible principle. It's as old as the earth. I know when I lived over in the South Pacific, we lived there for 5 years, and we had this thing called Tohu Luaki, and it was the first fruits. Uluaki, and we would go, and I'd go with those big old Tongans, and they had a galvanized uh, They had a galvanized Paola, they had a galvanized pole about that thick, and it's about 8 feet tall, and they would weld a hoe to the end of that thing. And the soil there was really clay-like, and we'd go out there, and we had these things. We called them oofy, and oofy took 18 months to grow. 18 months. Yep. And they'd plant it in the winter, and they had to kind of baby them, and there was a vine that grew out of the ground, and they had to be real careful how they planted them and how they cared for them. And they'd plant them real deep and slowly fill in the soil. And then after about 18 months, you'd go and you'd take that hoe, and you didn't want to ever hit the yam. It'd come out about like that big around, and a good one was about that long. And after 18 months, that soil was impacted around that yam. And you'd go in with that hoe, and you'd hit the soil around it and just slice up just a... The first thing I thought when I went with them is there's got to be a better system than this, Brother Hammer, Brother Tanner, because I'm telling you, it was tough, right? And you're going in with that, and you're taking a chunk of clay off about that big every time. Now, some of those tongas, they got no neck, and they look like the Samoan guy, the movie guy. Like, you ladies don't know who I'm talking about. Oh, I don't know. I have no idea who that is. Yeah, Dwayne Johnson, right. Right. That's what some of those guys look like. Who's that? Liar, Harris. But they could move it pretty quick, but they've been doing it their whole life. And so you just take off a little chunk at a time, and I would use it to witness to them. I'd go out in the bush with a bunch of guys, and they would like to see the white guy dig up a yam. They didn't think I could do it, and I got to tell you, sometimes I didn't think I could do it. I was just praying that I could get through, because you don't want to wimp out, you know. Because then, you know, you tell them about Jesus, and they're all just standing around just laugh, like they couldn't believe I was doing it. And I'm going around. Finally, after quite a while, you would dig a hole around it about that big. And you wouldn't want to slice the sides, because that would make it very poor. And the reason for that is at the beginning of the harvest, we gave the first yams to the king and to the lords and to the landlords. It was just what they did, right? It was the first fruits, right? And that first fruits is a principle all throughout the scripture, right? And that's why you see it in the scripture. And that's, you don't just see it in the Bible. The Egyptians did it. The Babylonians did it. Everybody did it, right? What is it? They're just letting God know, here's your cut for breathing your air and drinking your water. That's what it is. That's what it is. And so that's not even really a giving thing. That's just something you give the Lord his cut. But this morning, talk about something else. Now, money represents life. It represents time and effort. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you can always tell. You can always tell where a person's heart is by what they invest in. You know, guys and moms, you know why you get up early? Right? Glug down that Maxwell House, you know, or whatever it is, if you haven't gone snobby yet. And get in that truck and put up with idiots, right? And work hard all day, day after day. Right? You know why you do that? You do it because you love your family. Right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? You know where that treasure is? I'll tell you what your treasure is. They're sleeping in that bed. Right? Some of them throw the covers off at night. Right? You got to go in there and put the covers back on them. Okay, I didn't do that. Mom did. I mean, who are we kidding? All right? You know, those little treasures, you got to wake up and nurse in the middle of the night. I did it a lot. But you know why you do what you do day after day, day after day, day after day? Because you love them. Because you love them. Right? And what does love do? Love gives. Love gives. And you know, God's a giver. Why? Because he's a lover. The Bible says God is love. God is love. And he gives. And his love is in my heart because I'm born again and I know him. Do you know him? Do you know him? I hope you do. I hope you do. The best gift that we have, the greatest gift that we have is eternal life. eternal life in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you're not born again, I encourage you, today could be the day. But what money reveals a lot about values. You know where I put my money? Where I love. Amen. Amen. Don't think your wife doesn't notice when you bought a brand new toy, you know, a new brand new snowmobile or brand new four-wheeler, and then give her a hard time about the shoes she bought. Don't think she doesn't notice. She might not say anything, but she notices. Why? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And money reveals a lot about values. What do we, you know what we invest in? We invest in things that we love. You know why some people give to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation? Because they like it. They like hunting elk. You like hunting elk, huh? Amen. Amen. But you know what my favorite, you know the best money I spend all year is buying my hunting tags. You know, you can shoot about everything in this state for $118 or $140. That is a really good deal. Right? It's never bothered me. That is cheap, right? To be able to go. Why do I have no problem letting go of that? Because I love animals, I love wildlife, and I love hunting. And I love eating them, amen? All right? And we give toward what we love. And Paul says, look what he says here. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 again, and look at verse 8. He says this, I speak not my commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love, right? Well, I mean, what is that in modern English? What is that in modern English? To prove the sincerity of your love, right? Put your money where your mouth is, amen? Amen. Money reveals a lot about values, right? That represents your heart. It represents your time and effort. That's what we spend most of our waking hours doing is trying to get that stinking stuff. That's why the Bible calls it filthy lucre. Yeah. Money reveals a lot about values, but also covetousness is something a Christian should actively fight. Right? And giving has a promise attached with it almost always. And this is what I believe. I believe that giving is the heart of every believer. I don't think you have to make that up. I believe if you're born again, you want to give and you do give. Why? Because Christ is in our heart, right? In our heart is to give. Our heart is to give our time. Our heart is to give our talent. Our heart is to give our treasure. I believe that it's there. I believe that it's there. It's the heart of God, and it's the heart of every believer. And that's why, by the way, that's why two of the greatest verses on God's grace are smack dab in the middle of this passage. Look at verse 9 in chapter 8, verse 9. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, right? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus Christ left the treasure of heaven. He left the glory of heaven, and he came to earth, and he took on the body of a man, and he wept, and he cried, and he was hungry, and he was thirsty, and he was tired, and he endured the contradiction of sinners, and he spent time with people that were so far removed from his holiness and his perfectness, you can't even imagine it. And he did that for you and for me. That's a great grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he shows you another verse. Look at chapter 9 and verse 7. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound to every good work. That's a great promise. That's a great promise. What is that? That means if we have a heart, if we have a heart for God, God gives us the ability to do it. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. That ye having all sufficiency, all ability, you have everything that you need to serve him in every area of your life. And so that's what we do when the Lord asks us, When the Lord asks us to give our heart to Him, when the Lord asks us to give our time to Him, when the Lord asks us to give our treasure to Him, what are we doing? We're turning ourselves over to Him for His uses. And He can do a lot better with us than we can. Right? And we tap into His supply. We tap into His supply. You know, there's a power line running right down the road here. But unless you're hooked into it, you're not going to get any of it. You're not going to get any of it. Right? And just with anything else, there's a give and take with that. And if you want to draw on God, you got to be tapped into Him. Now, I want you to see something here this morning. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want you to look at verse 7, where he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And I apologize if you're a guest here this morning, because this really is more for our church. But, you know, you're here. So, and I'm talking about our church this morning. I got to show you this. There's basically three types of giving in the New Testament, right? There's three types. Okay, and look at Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians chapter 6. And Galatians chapter 6. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 13, and 14, he says, them that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He says that the temple operates according to those things which are brought into the temple. He says here in Galatians chapter 6, and Galatians chapter 6, and look what he says in verse 6. He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. All right, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he gives instructions for taking care of the elders and for the maintenance of the church. And we'll skip by this part because I think you all understand what that is that in the New Testament, the first kind of giving is for the care and maintenance of the church. All right, and that's just a standard thing that you do. All right, now I want you to see this. I want you to see back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And he says in verse 1, he says, 1 Corinthians 16:1, he says, now concerning the collection, what's the next word? For the saints, all right? What's this? This is the giving to the poor and needy. It's the giving to the poor and needy. And there's a lot of that in the Bible. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about taking care of the poor, right? So much that a lot of liberals have taken advantage of it. Right, and force socialism and Marxism on the church, which the Bible does not teach. Right, and the Bible is for private property. Amen, amen, amen. And I'm not teaching that this morning, but the Bible teaches private property. Okay, but however, there's a collection for the saints, and what is that? It's taking care of people that are in need. You know, we just did that recently for someone that needed some help. Right, and that broke his hip and was out of work for a while, and we raised some money for him. That's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do, and we ought to. I will say this about these days is that, you know, we have social programs now in this country. All right? America's the only country where people that are on welfare are overweight. You know, maybe Europe too. Right? But you say, preacher, I want to give to the poor. Can I just say one thing about that? You already do every time you pay taxes, just so you know. Amen. You do, all right? This was written at a time when you didn't have those social programs, all right? But some of you, right, you're fixing on mailing a big chunk in, and you know what that's going to go? You're going to buy somebody an iPhone even if you can't afford one. So God bless you. Amen. God bless you. But a lot of that is taking care of your taxes today. In the Old Testament, they didn't have those social programs, and so that was a major thing. All right, and then I want you to look here at Philippians chapter 4. At Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm just teaching you a little bit this morning. All right, there's the maintenance of the church. There's the care of the poor and needy. And then thirdly, Philippians chapter 4. In verse 15, Philippians 4:15, he says this, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. I love that old English word, right? Communication, right? Communication. It's where we get the word commerce or commodity, right? When a person communicated in those days, it meant that there was an exchange of money, right? That's where we get the term money talks, communication. That's the best communication, right? Just so you know, when you send a card to your grandkids, right? You know what kind of communication they're looking for in the card, just so you know? The same communication that you were looking for in the card when you were their age. Right? I know you think they're going to read your words of wisdom, right? But what they really want is something green, right? Why? Because money talks. Amen? Amen, amen. All right, now, look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. I love how quiet it gets when I talk about money. And what it makes me do is want me to talk longer and really dig in. Like, dig a big hole and put some dynamite there and just really, yeah, why? Because it's all over the Bible. And if you have a problem with someone talking about money, you have a problem with God and you have a problem with the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So don't be a hypocrite. Amen. Look what he says in verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And by the way, there's the promise, Brother Potter. But my God, verse 19, shall supply all your need. Boy, isn't that the truth? God is taking care of me.
Yeah.
Boy, he's taking care of me. And beyond finances, give me a stinking break.
Yeah.
I get along with all my kids most of the time. Amen. I'm still married.
Yeah.
Amen. Live in a nice house in a neighborhood I should not live in.
Yeah.
I should not live in that neighborhood, Brother Joe. Everybody in that neighborhood, we are the trash of the neighborhood, I'll tell you that. We are the Beverly Hillbillies of our neighborhood. That homeowners association, they hate me. And I don't purposely do things to bother them. Sometimes I do, actually. Stinking communists. Amen. Amen. You know, wear Don't Tread on Me t-shirt to the homeowners association meeting. That's what I'm going to do next time. Yeah. God's been good to me. Oh, he's taking care of me, you know? He has. And, man, I'm thankful. It's blessings way beyond stinking money. Way beyond. My God shall supply all your need. You know what I've needed in my life? I've needed comfort. I've needed forgiveness. I've needed to forgive people. I've needed to forgive myself for some stuff. You know what the Lord's done? He's helped me with that stuff. He's helped me with that stuff. And that great promise, my God shall supply all your need, the context is these people, the great apostle Paul, he was on his missionary journeys and they were sending money to take care of him. And that's what we do. Now, we did this bathroom remodel, so our mission wall isn't up, but I've got something I'm going to put back up there. But that's what we do for our missionaries. We take care of them. We send them money monthly. Why? Because they need money to operate in those countries. You know, we send money to Brother Robertson. He takes care of those orphans in Vietnam. We send money to gospel preachers in Israel and in China and in the Philippines and in Mexico. They're preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not allowed to work in those countries. They're not allowed to work. They do work. They work their tails off, right? They learn the language. They get to know those people. They build churches and in dark places. In dark places, Brother Pizzo over in Israel, living in Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, witnessing to those Muslims. You know, he's not allowed to go to Israel and have a job. He has to have support when he goes in. We send to their necessity, right? And that's a great gift to be able to do that. It's a blessing to be able to help them, to take part in that ministry, right? Why, one of these days we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see Muslims that got saved because of Ian Pizzo. He just led one to the Lord the other day. You know who sent him there? Churches like this sent him there to talk to those people about Jesus, right? That's a major part of giving in the New Testament. It should be a major part of every Christian's giving. You ought to mark it down every month, whether it's $10, $15, $100, whatever it is. I give every month to missions beyond any other giving that I do. Specifically, I don't want it going to pizza. I don't want it going to the building right over there. I don't want it going to that. I want it out of this place. I specifically write missions. I want it out of here, and I want it where the gospel is preached and people are getting saved and delivered from hell. Amen. It's an important thing. And every Christian, listen, I say $10, $15, $100. Some of you, would, if you gave that, you wouldn't even miss it. Some of you would hurt you, but some of you wouldn't even miss it. You wouldn't even miss it. Right? So we do that one more, Romans 15. Did you guys notice I've been preaching shorter? I'm just fishing for a compliment. You know? Well, we don't have Sunday night. You know that, right? So when we started this church, we always went longer on Sunday morning because we don't have Sunday night. But I have been trying to shorten it a little bit. So look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and look what he says in verse 24. Paul says this, he says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey." And look what he says, "and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I may be somewhat filled with your company." Paul says, I'm going to go through Rome. I'm in what we, right, he's in the east. He's going to go through Italy, and he's going to go to Spain, which would be on the other end of the Mediterranean. He says, so I'm going to stop by and visit you. The cowboys called this riding the grub line. Anybody read Louis L'Amour when you were a kid? Riding the grub line, right? You show up at a campfire, right? You know, they hand you the pan, you got the bacon, and, you know, Tel Sackett would always mop up the bacon grease with the biscuits, right? And then drink that hot coffee, you know, strong enough to float a horseshoe in. I know. It's not a video game. I know, it's a book. But it makes you use your imagination. Yeah. But that's called riding the grub line, right? In the old days when you showed up at someone's house in the way out and way back, it was expected that they feed you, right? Paul says this, I want to be brought on my way. So when we have missionaries come through here, you know what we're doing? We're bringing them on their way. Right? They have to have gas money. They have to stay in hotels, right? They have bills they have to pay, right? And so we bring them on their way. We take care of them when they come here. And it's awesome to be able to do that. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to do that. And Paul says, I'm coming through and hopefully I'll be brought on my way by you. Amen. So those are the three types of giving. There's the maintenance of the church, and then there's the giving to the poor and the needy, right? And then there's the taking care of missionaries and evangelists. Now, I want you to go back here to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. And I know this is more teaching this morning, but it's just the way it is. 2 Corinthians, I'll stand on my head next week. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And how does a Christian give then? How does a Christian give? He says in 2 Corinthians 8:8, I speak not my commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. We give demonstratively. We give representatively, right? We give in relation to where our heart is at. Prove the sincerity of your love. That's how Christians give, right? We give as a symbol and as a sign of our love. Look what he says in verse 2 Corinthians 8, and look at verse 24. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf, right? So we give representatively. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We want to represent our heart, and we want to represent how God has blessed us. So think about that. The next time you have a chance to help somebody. All right? Think about this. Is what I'm giving, is it representative of my heart? Right? Does it represent my feelings toward this person? Right? And secondly, does it represent how God has blessed me and how I want to pass that on? Right? Prove the sincerity of your love. Right? Talk is cheap. It takes money to buy whiskey. It's still true. Amen. Look what he says here in... thank you, Brother Pop. It's an old one. That's an Oklahoma one, actually. You know, look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We give demonstratively. Number two, and this is a good one. Romans 12:8. Or he that exhorteth, he's talking about our gifts, on our exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with what? Ah, ha, 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 ha. When we give, we should give simply. Amen. What is simple giving? It means just giving. It doesn't mean making people jump through hoops. It doesn't mean making them feel bad. You want to help someone out that's having a hard time? Don't make them feel bad about it. Don't sit them down and give them a lecture. Right? Don't make it hard to give to them. Don't give it to them, but you're actually expecting them to do you a favor. When you give with simplicity because that's what giving is. It's giving. It's not getting something in return. You know? It's funny, right? Giving, I believe the Bible says when you give, you don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. In other words, you don't go like this. Hey, I'm a good Christian. No, we don't do that. It's private, right? I mean, you don't know what she gives. She doesn't know what you give. You don't know what I give. I don't know what you give. We keep it that way. Amen. That's the right way to do it. It's private, okay? And, you know, once in a while, you'll get this. You'll get this. I was talking to another pastor about it. You'll get someone, and they'll come in, and they're giving their tithe. Well, look. People in this church give their tithe. If you make $120 a week, it's $12. But for some reason, the guy that just got a big chunk when he tithes, he wants to bring it into the office. Right? So that the preacher can see it came from him. I don't want to see it. Why? Because when you show that to me, you know what I think? I think there's some sort of expectation with that. Right? If you wanted to give it to the Lord, just throw it in the plate. I don't need to see it. Right? But for some reason, a person thinks if they make $1 million and they have a $100,000 check, they got to go in and show it to the preacher. You know how much that $100,000 is? It's not more than $10 off $100. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Right? It's nothing more special. Give with simplicity. Right? Don't expect something from that. Don't expect favors from it. That's not giving. Like what Brother Dan said years ago in a meeting, we were talking about money, and he said, man, when you give a sacrifice, it burns up on the altar. That's giving. You just give. Right? Don't expect something in return. Give with simplicity. Don't make it hard for someone when you want to do them a favor. Just do it. Amen. Oh, you're welcome for that one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't need to know. It's none of my business. It is none of my business. It's between you and the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 again. Look what he says in verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You know what we ought to give? We ought to give purposefully. Okay, guys, you know, what's purposefully? Well, it's not trying to book that anniversary dinner the day before. Do you know what I'm talking about? Hey, I'm going to take you to a nice restaurant tomorrow if they have room. You know what's nice? When you're like, oh, August 31st is coming up. And in July, you call up to that restaurant and you make sure you get a nice table, right? You know what that is? That's purposeful. It's purposeful. It means you've put some thought into it. It means you've put some prayer into it, you know? And you can tell I rarely do that when it comes to booking, you know. But it's nice. It's nice to do that. Why? It makes your wife feel special that you've put a little bit of thought into it. Amen? All right, we ought to give purposefully. We ought to plan it. We ought to say, oh, a missionary's coming. Got to make sure I bring my checkbook. Amen! Oh, good night. Oh, caught me again. Fine, just go on the app and do that thing, right? We ought to be purposeful. We ought to plan it just like we plan everything else. Amen. Be purposefully. But look at this. Look what he says. He says this. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what we ought to give? We ought to give cheerfully. We do give cheerfully. A cheerful giver. You know what the Greek word is there? Not that I use Greek a lot. But you know what the Greek word there is? It's alerion or alerio. It's where we get the word hilarious. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we took an offering in here and people gave hilariously? Woohoo! Right? I know y'all, you know, puckered up. You're 3 inches higher in your chair right now, some of you, on this subject. But I'll tell you what. He says to give cheerfully. Why? It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's fun. Amen. When we give, we ought to love to give. Give it cheerfully. And one of the reasons we give cheerfully, right? First of all, it makes us feel like we're doing something that God loves. He's a giver. But look at, he says in chapter 9, verse 8, he says this, and God is able to make all grace, that's ability, power, strength, abound towards you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things might abound unto every good work. You know why we give cheerfully? Because it's expectant. It's expectant. Why? Because we know that the Lord's going to take care of us. He always does. Right? I don't want to have in my pocket what belongs to God. Right? And I don't want to have in my pocket what the Lord asked me to give. Right? We give expectantly. There's a blessing attached to it. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. The Lord, and I'm not saying you give to get, but it's amazing that the Lord always takes care of you. You know, when we came back from the mission field, we had this station wagon. I know, a station wagon. A diesel station wagon. And, you know, it was tight. It was tight. We didn't have extra money, okay? And we had this station wagon, and it was probably only worth like $2,500 US. But at that time, $2,500 was a lot of money. By the way, it still is a lot of money. And so we were cashing in. I sold my Honda Ruckus scooter, Brother Dave. I was bad to the bone. That thing went like 38 miles an hour. Anybody know what a Honda Ruckus is? These things are awesome. Yeah, really good on gas. All the kids thought I was really cool. I even had a pair of aviators to go with it. I wrecked it 8 times. I hit a cow with it. I hit a pig with it, killed the pig. Hit a cow. A cow, while I was from a pack of dogs that was chasing me. They bite there. Yeah. I hit a guy in the Navy because he made fun of my clothes and I kind of bumped him like that with my mirror as I drove by. It was real missionary of me, but he had it coming. And wrecked it about 8 times, hit a mango tree. But I sold that. We were selling some things and we were getting ready to sell that car. And Blair says to me, you know, so-and-so needs a car. And there have been some other missionaries that worked down at the YWAM base. And they come to Bible study. We spent a lot of time together. His name was O.C. He was a rugby player and really great guy, smiley guy. And he would do all these Tongan traditional dances. And they would go to villages and he would do that. And then he would preach and led a lot of people to the Lord. And they lived on the base and they would have to take the bus into town to go grocery shopping. And we really needed the money. But Blair said, you know, why don't we just give it to Jenny and O.C.? Man, that was fun. On our way to the airport to drive to their house, dropped that car off. I put all my tools that I hadn't, just all my tools I gave to him because I knew he was going to have to work on it. And you should have seen the smile on OC's face. Got on the plane, came home. Do you know since that time, I've had 5 vehicles given to me. I have. 5. 5. I always wondered when I gave that car, I said, Lord, I can't afford this, but I know you'll take care of me. And it took a while. But you know, when Lizzie started driving, Brother Hans shows up at church. He says, your teenager needs a car. So he gives me that old Buick, right? And that thing, that piece of steel, right? That hit deer, that hit light poles, that hit three of my kids. That thing was awesome. I said, what do you want me to do with it? He said, just take it. When you're done, take it to the dump. Remember? I hope your mother-in-law isn't listening because she loved that car. And then a couple weeks, a couple years later, another brother Potter rolls into my yard and says, you got 4 teenagers. I know what it's like keeping teenagers on the road. Gave me a couple vehicles. Gave me 3. I shouldn't have said anything. Y'all would be like, wow, you didn't give me one. Then I got another one, the nicest one. You know what the Lord does? Takes care of you. Takes care of you. This is where I feel stupid. I know that the Lord does that. So why don't I give more often? Right? It's like, you know, I wish I would have invested in Netflix when it was $2 a share. You know, I wouldn't actually invest in Netflix, but I don't know what it is now, but you've made pretty good money, right? You know what? God takes care of us, right? That which we give to him, he'll pay again. Get that attitude toward giving. Give expectantly. Give cheerfully. Give simply. And give representatively of our heart. You know, when Brother Miller was here Wednesday night and he was showing the pictures of those red-headed Scotsmen that had got saved and they gave their testimony on the video, do you know, somebody gave. Somebody gave. Those kids are going to get saved in Vietnam. Those kids are going to get saved in China. Somebody's going to have to give. Those kids are going to get saved in Malawi with Brother Robinson. Somebody's going to have to give. Give purposely. Give cheerfully. Give expectantly. It's a lesson this morning. I know it's not your regular sermon, but it's a subject that we needed to cover. And I want to say this morning. Giving, you should know this, but giving has nothing to do with being born again. Right? Salvation is a free gift in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And all you have to do for salvation, the Bible says this, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a great promise, isn't it? That's a great promise. It's easy. And it wasn't easy for him. He suffered and bled and died an awful death and carried the sin of the whole world on his body for you and for me. And the third day after they buried him, he rose from the dead and he has power to give you eternal life if you'll call on his name. And if you're in here today and you don't know that if you died today, you would go to heaven, you can know before you leave this place. Let's bow our heads for prayer.